Fitzy and Whipper.
Interesting overnight, guys. Money has been raised over $100,000 for charity, which is fantastic. Selling off the original Coke sign from King's Cross, so iconic. Been in so many movies, featured in so many magazines, campaigning for this great harbour town.
So what went? What letter went for the most?
Top dollar, top dollar. Looks like it was the big C.
The big C.
$18,700.
Now, we did a bit of research on that. What was it? It was 6 metres high.
Huge.
5 metres high, six metres long.
Yeah, because it has the swirl, doesn't it, that comes out the side.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Could you put that, sir? You can't put that at home.
You'd
in
have
a shed.
To hang it off a building,
mate,
wouldn't you?
I reckon it's in a restaurant on a wall somewhere.
That's like a high ceiling.
It'd look amazing.
That's not bad.
You're right, sir, that is a high ceiling. God, what else? What, the big other C went for 10 grand? Look, it's great that they decided to do this.
What was the cheapest? What could have we had a crack at?
The L. Who wants the L?
Yeah, it's a bit boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, there's the L from the Coke sign. You know the one that used to be in King's Cross? There's another one there now.
Yeah, but see, L stands for love or something like that.
Oh,
that could have been cute in your backyard, see, or something.
Could be the start of LOL or something if you wanted to put that on your back fence.
I've got one of the old buckets or the old seats, like 100 years old from the Adelaide Oval. We got married on the Adelaide Oval.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
And one of their wedding gifts to us, the Adelaide Oval,
was a seat.
We just had this truck rock up at our house one day, and they had one of the old seats.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're going to get a plaque put on it.
Where
so that's a bit of significance.
Now?
We've got it in a storage, in a warehouse.
Yeah,
with all my drugs. I mean, with all my
God.
With all my plants.
Yep. Interesting to see them selling off all these great, iconic Sydney items. I mean, the monorail went not long ago. You and I, through the size of our hearts, decided to bring out the thong from the 2000 Olympics.
That was amazing.
We bought it back, refurbed it.
There was a guy with a huge backyard who has some of those iconic sort of landmarks and stuff in his backyard.
All right. Well, we missed out on a couple of letters from the Coke sign. Here's what I think we need to get into. The 12-metre-long shark that was at the 2000 Olympics that Greg Norman teed off from. It's a massive shark. This guy picked it up on eBay.
Not worth anything.
Let me do my pitch. This guy picked it up on eBay just after the Olympics, and he paid around $2,500. Guess who he outbid at the time?
Who?
The Cronulla Sharks.
Oh, okay.
Got him. But in return, they've hired it off him for $1,200 a day on numerous occasions. Do your numbers there, Cronulla.
I think we should go for the big potato at Robertson.
We don't want the big potato. It's
it just looks like a huge turd.
The worst tourist attraction in the world.
Yeah, I know, but it could be like the turd emoji.
No, we don't want the big potato. And even the big potato in Robertson, when you walk inside, they've sprayed it to look like mashed potato.
Oh, that's
come
bad.
On, guys. What are we celebrating
that's
here?
That's good. I like that.
I just feel like there's some other things we could be looking at. I mean, how long till we replace the Opera House? Pick it up and put it in the back garden?
Oh, no, I don't think you
can
buy that.
What about
house.
The rubber duck that was floating around? Why didn't we get that?
The huge one that was in Darling Harbour.
Yeah, then it was in the Parramatta River.
Where is it now?
No, it popped.
Someone popped it.
It popped.
It's got to be.
That's not much of an investment.
So if anyone's got a massive puncher kit, give us a call for 2014.
I mean, it wasn't long ago on the show we were trying to get a dinosaur off Clive Palmer when he ran into financial troubles.
Oh,
he's got thousands of them. Where did that end up, Tommy? What did he have to say, Clive, about the dinosaurs?
We tried to buy it from him, and he said, not for sale. And we said, what about if we donate to your favourite charity of choice? He said, not interested.
Yeah.
We're
going to be talking about Clive a bit later on in the show, too. I didn't know he had so many bouncers around him.
There was a couple of big boys when he wandered into court yesterday. Mm. All right, well, what do you want to go in with, mate? He wants $5,800 for the shark. Are we going to pass the hat around on this one, or just leave it in his back garden?
Pass.
MDG, what do you want here?
I mean, I'd be if you are, but it doesn't seem like the team's with us.
Doesn't see the energy in the room. Warrants a bit on this one. Good luck with your shark.
There is a carpenter over in the UK that's become really, really popular. Like, to the point where it takes 6 months to actually book him in.
He must be good.
He's also a naturist, so he does all of his work in the nude, Sarah.
Oh, it's a little bit gross, isn't it?
His name's Robert Jenner, 42. He's actually in pretty good nick, but he says, my mum has no idea I'm a naturist, and she only lives a few miles down the road, so she'll probably find out sooner or later. Whenever I'm using power tools, though, I'm always clothed. I'm always careful because I don't want to get any splinters. Naturism appeals to me due to the sense of freedom and liberation. I also don't want to get beaten up, and no one is going to hit someone who's naked.
Hang on, that's not true.
That's what he said.
If I come home and there's a naked man with a tool belt on in my house, I reckon I'm going to be pretty fired up when I walk in the door.
Do you remember years ago we spoke to a nude bricky?
Oh, Brenton. Brenton Wells.
Naked bricky.
Yep.
He gave us a call. If he's out there as well. But, guys, have you ever done a job in the nude as well, I suppose?
Mm. My concern
would you ever
is...
consider it? Like, I mean, if you're a struggling plumber or something like that now... Would you consider taking your gear off to get more work?
Well, plumbing's probably your safest option, isn't it? There's a lot of water, things like that.
There's a lot of suction, though, Sarah.
Yeah, my concern is if you're a naked tradie, and let's say he's just on the tools doing some basic woodwork, let's say he's laying a deck. It's just not great.
if he's in New Zealand, then.
He's laying a deck, and you're down on all fours, and you can just see the tool bag from behind.
And the hammer and
the
nail.
Just anything can flick off at any time.
Well, obviously there's a lot of housewives at home that's calling Robert Jenner, the nude carpenter, to get him around, Sarah. And do you think girls would then go, all right, can you put on a bit of a show for an extra 20?
Well, that's the thing.
I think it is the show. Man with no clothes, just a tool belt. You just go about your business, my friend. This is the good stuff.
Is that sexy? Like,
it is a bit.
Would you ask Gary to put just a tool belt on one night and nothing else?
Oh, I already have. Yeah, it's just that he's not much of a handyman, so it's a little bit awkward when he's walking around in a Bob the Builder tool belt.
Man and Gary don't go really hand in hand, do they?
It's very dangerous because, I mean, the extra, I don't know, things can get stuck. And as a carpenter, hammers, nails.
Yep. Is it a great view, too, if you walk past the ladder and there he is a few steps up, half a metre, and, you know, he's just asking you questions and it's right there, you know, it's sort of in your face there. It's not what you want from your tradesman.
I mean, there's so many pun jokes, isn't there? Mick, screws and nuts. And
where do you want to stop? Mick Fitzgerald's a tradie. I mean, would he ever think of
that? Oh, yeah.
Geez, Fitzy's electrical pulls up and there's Mick with no pants on.
Do you know what? Should we ring Mum to see if Dad's ever gone? I know that's creepy coming from me
I like where you're going.
Should we ever see if Dad's ever dressed up in just a tool belt or nothing else?
Poor Mick.
I bet he has.
Don't give him an inch.
Brenton, the naked bricky, we've found him. Hello, mate. How are you?
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, it's about time we had you back on, Brenton.
It's been a while. What's been happening?
Far too long between drinks.
It has.
Since we spoke to you last, have you gone naked since?
I had a bit of time off during the winter, but coming into the spring, let me give you the tip. I've started slowly with the shirt. I had the shorts off last Saturday.
That's nice.
But yeah, no, going well. Really good.
Brenton, have you found love? Have you got a family, or you're looking for love still?
I am looking for love. Nothing as yet.
Brenton, any complaints? I mean, some of the footage I've seen on your Instagram page. One, I think you're naked with a wheelbarrow. I mean, has there ever been any neighbours that have filed a complaint? Do you know what they've seen or?
Hey, can I tell you something? You know, when I rung you guys last, I got about 1,000 followers on Instagram, that fast. Then I got a phone call from Queensland, the tradie magazine.
Yeah.
I ended up in a magazine.
what was the magazine?
It was on Facebook. I got bloody, I got about 178 shares. There's 181 comments. A few haters, but we look past them.
Yeah, don't worry about them, Brenton. Geez, some good numbers there.
So what's your Instagram user name again, Brenton?
Yeah, it's Brenton Wells 908. Yeah.
Brenton Wells 908. You can go check out the naked bricky there. You've just got to be careful as a bricky being nude as well, because if you slam a couple of bricks between something, Brenton, it can be very painful.
Exactly. Yeah. Game over.
Mate, great. Hey, Brenton, have you got a 6 o'clock club key ring?
Mate, I haven't.
Oh,
I've heard everyone ring up and I always hear them go, oh, can I get the 6 o'clock key ring? Oh,
yep.
Come on, guys. You've got to earn it. You can't just ask.
Well, you've earned it this morning, Brenton. 100%, mate. Key ring is all yours.
13, 24, 10. How much have you spent on a pet?
Oh God!
Now I know people, and I know Sarah. You would spend so much money.
Do you mean like in doggy coats and food?
Yeah,
or
I buy him a lot of toys. He loves little teddy bears and things, but he destroys them so fast.
No, but what about this? When, you know, when Winnie gets sick or, you know,
medical bills.
We went to the vet once because I actually didn't know what was wrong. He kept trying to put his paws in his mouth and sort of pull things out and like he was choking.
Oh, God.
Anyway, it cost me $400 for the vet to go, I don't know, I reckon he swallowed a bee. Don't worry about it. Oh, and I went,
yeah,
oh,
so that's a tough
okay,
thing.
Okay, thanks, mate.
Well, this is like Emma Marsh. She's 21 years of age up in Brisbane. Emma bought Conker, her goldfish, for $12. Now, Conker was, he was acting a little bit weird the other day. So she got a vet, I think you can do house calls, so the vet came around to check out the, which is expensive in itself.
Poor little Conker.
The vet said, oh, look, I think I might have to put, Conker under, and they anaesthetized the goldfish, which cost $400 in itself.
Oh, come on.
Got the fish out of there, and they found that the fish had swallowed a tiny little pebble at the bottom of the aquarium. took it out. All right. The bill for the goldfish was $500. Conker to buy itself was $12.
Jeez, I reckon I would have bought a new fish.
This is where you flush those things.
Oh, I remember Dad doing, having a...
Straight to the toilet.
And they swim back up. Dad did his knee one time and the dog did the knee at the same time. And Dad's knee for an arthroscope was $1,200. Jesse's knee was $800. He couldn't believe it.
Oh, come on.
Not cheap.
Well, on Twitter, Dr. Chris Brown says he once saved a regurgitated fly. Not so sure if it was a low or high point in my career.
Yeah, that,
why
thanks,
on earth
Brownie.
Would you bother?
That was on Bondi Vet.
Just squash it. Did move on.
It was on his hand and it was gone. Like, it just wasn't moving. Mm. And then he was... I don't know if he can give,
kiss
he can
of
give
death.
A fly mouth to mouth. He's given it mouth to mouth and then all of a sudden...
Bang, gone.
Because that's what they make.
Happy fly. Jason Padstow, how much you spend on your bird, mate?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Jace. Well, Jace.
Yeah, Charlie had a... Charlie's a galah and she had a little cyst which turned into a, sort of a tumour.
Oh, yeah.
And had to get cut out because it was about to burst and that cost us $1,400.
Oh, wowzers.
What sort of bird was it, Jace?
It's she's a galah.
So was there a chat with the Mrs. Jace where you just did you have a chat and say do we really need to do this or
no there was a chat where I said we have to do this
okay.
That's tough. I mean I've told you before about Jesse our dog, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've heard it. I reckon about 48 times.
Had a bit of an issue downstairs in the female region for the poor bitch.
And what did you do with that?
Your dog that.
It's a
well, that's what it is.
Female dogs
no,
are bitches.
No, I know, but it's not a nice thing to say about the family dog. You would have tortured that poor thing.
No, I love that dog. Yeah. I used to lie with it every night.
Oh.
And then it had
again,
the issue.
Again, I say you would have tortured that thing.
It's downstairs reproductive region there on the old puppy.
Well, it was obviously squashed to death as you rolled over it on a couple of times.
Wasn't
at night.
Squashed.
You gave it fleas well, all the time.
There was an operation and numerous cream treatments required.
Tracy from Picton, how much did you spend on your cat, Trace?
$2,700, boys. Good morning.
Oh, Trace.
What was the problem, Trace?
Our kitty cat got ran over, missing for 2 days, and we found him, and we got $2,000 in and said, okay, guys, this is getting pretty serious. He needed one more operation, and he made it for another 6 years, boys.
Oh, well, that's
Trace, great story. Great story.
Probably worth the key ring.
Yeah. You know what? You've got it, Trace.
$2,700 key ring. Thank you,
all
boys.
Right. $1,030. Trace is all yours.
Love it, boys. Have a great day.
You too, Trace. Bye bye. Gav's in St. Mary's. Welcome to the show, Gav. You already got a key ring?
No, I don't, mate.
Bang, it's yours. $1,031. What's your story, mate?
No way. All right, thanks for that. My story is my dog is English Staffy. He's 13 and a half. He's up to $10,000, mate.
Oh, what for,
Gav? Operations, saving him from 2 paralytic ticks, tumour in his gut. Yeah. He's on 2 heart meds every day. $220 a month he cost me. He's me mate. He's me kid. And he's my best mate.
Oh, Gav, you sound... Yeah. Oh, that well is done, a Gav. Great story. $10,000 and you'll keep spending money if he gets any more problems, Gav?
He's a million-dollar dog, mate.
Yeah.
Cape York, he's been to the tip of Australia, down the whole East Coast.
He's your best mate, Gav.
I promised him Uluru before he died.
This is, what's his name, Gav?
Brock.
Brock.
Isn't that Brock the Staffy?
See, that's the story. That's where you hear man's best friend is the dog.
And you can never complain also about the bills from the vet because you just see the lifestyle that it supports for Dr. Chris Brown.
I know.
And when he's got his shirt off and a new surfboard and he's sipping martinis.
And that Maserati
down
he's got. I know.
It's all worth it.
I mean, it probably cost him about $300 to fix the dog up, but 10 grand.
You beauty. Shout out this morning to a girl by the name of Abby Fenton. This story has come out overnight. Abby went on was it a bar not long ago? She was at, where was it? The Viper Room having a drink. That's a club in LA, I would have thought.
Well, that's where River Phoenix.
That's where he died. Was it the Viper Room?
Yeah, big speedball.
Is that
opposite
that hotel we were at that time? Which is a really vague description.
It's on Sunset Strip.
Sunset, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, the Rainbow Club and there's...
Yeah, the comedy place and the place with
the Viper Room's
ball.
A very rock. It's dirty.
Dark and it's hard.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm there every Wednesday. Yeah, where was I going with this? Interesting one. She met a guy there. He walked up to her and said, as she was about to buy a drink, "I'll get that. You're gorgeous." She thought, what a lovely guy. What a lovely honour. Thank you so much for the drink.
Great line, too.
They chatted for a while, exchanged numbers. It didn't go anywhere. They didn't catch up again, but she received a message from him saying, "Hey, I hope you don't mind. Is there any chance you can transfer me $11 for that drink?" She wrote, "Ha, ha, 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 ha. Who's this? It's Liam from the Viper Room a few weeks ago. I bought you a drink. Can I have the money back for it?"
Apparently it was a vodka Coke, too. Who drinks vodka Coke?
Oh, I have vodka Diet Coke.
I have Coke with my red wine.
Vodka and Coke?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that
vodka Coke
combination.
Yeah, it's...
I reckon when you start
out,
you might have a few vodka Cokes.
Yeah, it's like a low-calorie drink.
Isn't a vodka just a cider or a lemonade or...
What do you drink with tequila, Tommy?
Bitters.
Tequila lemonade.
Yeah, tequila lemonade.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's very early for tequila, chap.
See, BJ sometimes, to make herself feel better, has a vodka water.
Don't do that. It's very Shane Warne.
Boring.
Very diet-focused.
You'd go a lime and soda, wouldn't you?
Well, then
you've
got Richard Wilkins, who will have a gin and gin and gin and gin and tonic.
It's a good effort, though. I mean, this guy, did she transfer the money?
Yeah, she did.
See,
to start with, she thought, stuff him, but then thought, this is so ridiculous. I want him to realise when he sees $11 go into the bank account.
That's class.
Mate, Louise Whipfley went on a date one time. Older sister.
Not just one. She went on a few, I think.
I should have just said a friend. Anyway, it was going really well, and at the end of it, she offered to go halves in the bill. She actually forgot her purse, so she didn't have a card on it at all.
Of course she did.
She couldn't go halves. Mm. Anyway, he was driving on the night, so he said, "Look, I'll drive you home. I'll drop you home if you'd like." And she said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So they get to her house, and he says, "Well, I'll just wait here then." And she says, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Oh, well, if you need to go inside and get money or a card even, I can drive you to the ATM and drop you back to pay for half the meal."
Well, Josiah, who works on the show, your sister had her first date on the weekend, which you're probably going to get into trouble for saying that.
Yes.
Or do your parents know, or you're in a bit of trouble?
Yeah. It was a family discussion we had.
Okay, great.
Yeah, sure.
What was the guy's name?
He's a massive fan of the show. So
what's his name?
I actually genuinely don't know his name.
And what happened? So they went out for dinner.
They went for dinner and a movie, and then she was persistent on giving him money. And she's adamant that it wasn't their first date, but we are. And he ended up taking the $50 off her.
Oh, you can't do that.
It was Jared Hayne too.
See, your sister did so well to offer, because as a girl, you've got to offer,
knowing that
you're never going
to
hand the money overseas.
Yeah, you do, but I had a friend who had two wines with a guy, and he made her go to the ATM to get $15 to then pay for her portion of the drinks.
That is a disgrace.
Yeah, he said, "Sorry, I'll wait while you just go to the ATM and get that," because she was like, "Oh, I've got my wallet and everything, I just don't have cash."
Be a gentleman and treat a lady.
Oh, $15.
Wow. Stingy dates, 13, 24, 10.
And Nicole's given us a call. You went on a stingy date, Nick?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Okay. So this guy met me and then for the next 4 days begged to take me out every day. And on the fourth, I finally said, "Okay, let's just go to like coffee." So we went to this cafe and it was that place where you pay as you go up to order. So when I paid for the coffee, I honestly didn't mind. And then on the way home, it was, "Oh, why don't we just go get some ice cream? Like, Macca's drive-thru, nothing fancy." And then as he ordered an ice cream cone, I ordered, like, a sundae. And then as he got to pay, I thought, let me be polite and offer.
Yeah.
"Oh, let me give you money for my ice cream." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And I turn around, and he has 50 cents in his hand. He was only going to pay for his cone.
It's not bad, is it? It's not bad at all. What was the second date like, Nick?
There wasn't.
No, right,
I didn't think so. Thanks for your call.
That is a good effort, though. I mean, to take her through a McDonald's drive-thru for an ice cream, that's which love. Is the cheapest thing on the menu.
Yeah, 50-cent cone.
And then get 50% off her.
Not bad.
Wowzers.
Martha in Penrith, what happened?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Yeah, good, Martha.
So I had a guy take me out on a coupon, buy one lobster, get one free. So we go in there, get the first round of drinks, and then pretty much for the rest of the night, he was like, so you're shouting next round. You're shouting the next round because he pays for dinner on a coupon.
So offensive.
It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
But you cannot reveal to your date that you've got a coupon, first of all.
No, you don't.
Because imagine,
it.
You've got to have that receipt, because you know on the back of receipts that you get from Woolies or Coles, you get all those...
Black Stump.
Yeah. Buy one, get one free. Jeez, we used those back in the footy days. Or Maroubra Sills, you could get a $2 schnitzel down there.
No way.
But see, you cannot reveal that you've got a coupon.
No.
Do you know the other awkward thing on a date is trying to work out where the date stands for the level of wine that you buy, like how much you actually spend. You know how you always go the second on the list because you don't want to be the cheap? But the restaurants know that, so they put the crappier wine second.
No. You ask for the wine list and you just don't. You don't let them see. You can't let your date see the wine list because then they know the order. You go straight down to the bottom, mate.
Or do you hand it over? You choose the wine as if to say, I've got an endless bank account. Go for it, babe. $800.
Nikki in Abbotsford, what happened to you, Nick?
Oh, good morning, boys. What happened was we'd been out on a few dates and then I decided to cook him dinner one night. It happened to be my birthday a few days earlier. So he arrived at my apartment. I was really excited because he had a little, you know, gift bag. And I was, he bought me something for my birthday.
Yeah, great.
I went to open up the gift bag and he actually bought some Tupperware so he can take the leftovers home.
No. What an Aussie. What an Aussie. How long did that one last, Nick?
Oh, it's all gone and dusted. That's what I'm calling.
Oh, wow.
You can imagine him on the work site the next day as well with his leftovers going, guys, she was a bloody belter. I like her. I want round two.
Yeah. I reckon I'll be marrying this one. Nikki, have a listen to this story. I know that he doesn't want it brought up. Tom Ivy, why don't you tell us about a date you went on one time where you got a parking fine?
Yeah, I went on a date and the girl suggested that we park
that
in...
That you pay first?
That we pay...
Money up front. That cash register by the bed was weird.
Yeah, I don't trust you, mate. Maybe show me your credit card first.
We were going on a date and we had to pay for parking on the beach. She suggested that I park in a 1 hour zone.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, do you think that'll be long enough? She said, yeah, 1 hour's fine. Anyway, the date went for like an hour and a half.
Right. She's lied.
So I came back to a fine of $100.
Oh.
And then I made her go halves.
Split it.
In the fine.
What a dog. What a dog act.
Well, because I was like, we had an agreement. I said an hour. Yep. She agreed. We went over.
Fair enough, mate.
So what you said to her, could you please give me $50 right now before you leave?
It was afterwards. I text her about it.
Fair enough, mate.
Probably the sadder thing is that first impressions, she's seen you rock up and gone, we don't need an hour on this day.
No.
He's not need an hour.
He's homeless. This will be a quick one.
And then when you started paying for lunch, she went, I might keep going here.
Sarah's Dares. Yes. Lady Gaga's new single, is she talking about her ex-fiancé?
Well, this is the big question. So it came out last week. It's called Perfect Illusion. Have a bit of a listen to it if you haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who
it
helped her out?
It doesn't feel good saying it wasn't love repeatedly.
Do you know who helped her out? It was Mark Ronson and Kevin Parker from Tame Impala.
Yeah, correct.
So they're saying there is a... element of a bit of Tame Impala in the song.
So she said, she's done an interview and she said, I love Taylor so much, the song is not a hit at him. But then she went on to use this, and this is so Gaga. She's described what the song is about, and she's a bit over the top, isn't she? Have a listen.
The record is about being so intoxicated with love, so, you know, high, dilated, falling free in a modern ecstasy that you wake up one day and you can't believe that it was not real.
Is she okay?
You could just say it's about when you got your heart broken and you got dumped.
Yeah, so it's like... She's replaced Stereo Sonic with Love,
yeah,
and had a bender, yeah, if you know what I mean, yeah, and woke up the next day.
Thank
and
you for reading between the lines.
Doesn't yeah. know what's going on. Oh, it's the Love Festival at Randwick.
No, I've got it.
Guys, Reese Witherspoon has apologised to Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. It's not quite what you think, though. Everyone thought there might have been another celebrity feud on the cards. But basically, Reese Witherspoon does the voice of this new kids film. And in it, she sings Shake It Off, which is Taylor Swift's song, and Firework, which is Katy Perry's. Mm-hmm. And when she met them, this is what she actually said to them.
Please don't hold it against me because I really did not. I did the best I could. It was like, but I have really a lot of respect for how hard you girls work.
I mean, it's a funny triangle, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a nice little one there. Timing's perfect.
Is she trying to bring the two back together? That would be the question.
No, she's still in a job. She got paid for it, too, so she did a voiceover.
She's actually quite a good singer, though. You remember, what was it?
Walk the Line.
Yeah,
with Johnny Cash.
Yeah, she might improve Katy Perry's song. You never know.
Oh!
Chris Brown, guys, he sparked outrage in the US. He refused to stand up for the American national anthem on the 15th anniversary of September 11, which was obviously yesterday over there.
Idiot.
He is just not doing himself any favours. He was at a charity basketball game in LA, and he just sat there when they said, could everyone stand up? He put his feet on the chair in front and crossed his arms.
Bloke's a turkey. Do we ban him from the show? Do we ban ever talking about him?
Well,
I'm a bit over Chris Brown. I've never liked him.
Well, we did.
No one likes him.
We got asked to interview him, remember?
God, that was years ago, wasn't it? And he just had that incident with Rihanna.
We've knocked him back a few times.
Well, I think they asked Nova to actually sponsor his tour as well, and we knocked that back as well, didn't we?
Oh, he's an idiot. I don't know, but yeah. Not a good bloke. Finally, Madonna has embarrassed her kids yet again. Did you guys see the pictures of her at New York Fashion Week? And she's leaning on Lourdes, who's her daughter, and her top has slipped and she's had a nipple exposed
moment. It's amazing the daughter was able to contain her private parts, but unfortunately Madonna, God, there's a nip on show.
My first ever concert was John Farnham's Whispering Jack tour back in 1984-85.
Yeah.
And I went with Mum and all her friends, her nipple friends, and the girls got up and started dancing, and I was so embarrassed there. Aww. And Mum had a low-cut top on, and there was a couple of slips there too, because Mum had a few too many shandies and West Coast coolers.
John Farnham still talks about seeing Claire that night.
Yeah, take the pressure down, more like take your top down, Claire Fizzle.
Thanks very much,
Claire. Both of you have a bit of a history of mums exposing themselves, don't you? Whipper's mum's notorious for it.
At the Randwick race.
Okay.
It was just weird when I had to get that cardboard Nova boy and put it in her top.
Yeah,
your mum didn't
weird.
Even know, but she I think she won race four by a short half boob.
All right, mate. That'll do. That is enough. Let's play some John Farnham for Claire Fizzle this morning.
I don't think we could love this lady any more than we do. It's just, she makes us laugh so much. She looks after us when we go over to the South African jungle.
Made me cry over there.
She did make you cry, which made me laugh even more. But tonight, 7:30 on SBS, you can catch Julia Morris on Who Do You Think You Are? She joins us now.
Beautiful gentlemen. I've missed you since the jungle, or Le Jongle, as I like to call it.
French version. Yeah, we had such a good time, and we're still celebrating how much fun I had over there and the intimate moment we shared when I swore in your face, Julia.
You know what? I was with your brother. I would have spiraled out of control had it have been done to me.
Yeah, I was a mess.
Not told, shoved in. Yeah. What?
I know.
Do you know what? You are the busiest lady in television at the moment. You're filming House Husbands, and obviously I'm a Celebrity's Coming Back Again. We're very excited about that. But this, I mean, was this a personal journey that you wanted to go on to find out about your ancestors, Jules? Was it exciting?
It ended up being very exciting. When they offered me to come along and sort of search into the history, I was like, oh, my God, I can totally do that. Where's the weeks? Let's just slot it in. Beautiful. Okay, done. And then it was sort of towards the end of last year. So I'd had such a massive, massive year. I might have had a half a day off at some point last year.
Yeah.
And then it was leading up to and including Christmas Eve when we shot it. So all of a sudden, I was in the middle of it, and it's intense. And it was a three-week shoot of, like, 6 days a week.
Oh, man.
So all of a sudden, going from, oh, yeah, I think I've got some grandparents. They've already gone to God by the time I was around.
Yeah.
And just no real connection, you know, with the past. Mm. And now, oh, my God. That's all I can think about.
Yeah. Because, Joy, I mean, for the show Who Do You Think You Are, when they had Lisa McCune on, they realised the great-grandfather was a criminal. Did you, I mean, can you give too much away at this stage, but was there a surprise down the bloodline?
There'd be a few shonks in your family, wouldn't there?
Oh, God, wouldn't there? There's three major connections that we'll be looking into tonight. One is the Labor Party.
Wow. Okay. Is there a connection there?
Very strong path.
Okay.
Then there's a connection in to the IRB, which is the Irish Republican Brotherhood that predated the IRA.
No way.
And the third connection is Brisbane.
So someone moved cities.
The Fitzgerald Inquiry. You mixed up with the Fitzgerald Inquiry.
I'm just saying there could be some early Brisbane connections.
Do you get emotional, Julia? Do you cry on this show?
I think I do at one point. I was so tired. No, I'm kidding. I felt oddly connected to the paths that they had travelled. Mm. I felt really weirdly proud of them when I learnt about what they'd been through. And it definitely has shaken me up into thinking about a new live show in that, you know, searching into the past, which I've had no business with before, and living in the present, is that everyone's had to go through some ridiculous thing. Our thing, I guess, now in this day and age is that we're really busy.
Exactly.
We haven't had to go through, you know, coming out on a boat for 8 weeks to another country because of your husband's work or, you know, like times were very, very rarely does anyone look into the past and go, oh, God, they had a good time.
Yeah, it wasn't that fun.
Julia, well, apparently you were such a success on this show that they're thinking about getting you over on the American one. Now, we've got a promo. It's got a different name over there. This is the promo for it.
I'm Henry Louis Gates Jr. Welcome to Finding Your Roots.
Finding Your Roots.
The phones have just lit up, Julia. Dr. Chris Brown's called through.
That was mine. Mine's lit up.
They didn't have to study for long.
I mean,
you guys just got to get up the Froggies roller skating rink in Gosford and a lot of them will be collected right there.
This show goes for 10 weeks.
Is that where you used to hang out, Jules, at the roller skating rink?
Oh, no, I had a good go in this speed skate. It wasn't one of my special gifts, though, I will tell you that. But I was always marvelled at that 1 foot that could spin in and out and make people go backwards.
Great place to find love.
We adore you, Julia Morris. Who do you think you are? Premieres tonight at 7:30 on SBS. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Such a pleasure. I've really missed you. I hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Jules. Bye-bye.
See you, Jules.
Panicked when I got home last night. Couldn't believe it. Noticed a small bruise just next to my wife's eye. I thought, oh, God. Maybe Ted's thrown a truck at her or something, or she bounced off the wall or fallen out of bed. One of those sharp-looking bruises, like she's hit a corner or something.
Oh, no.
Quite close to the temple, too.
Yeah.
And I was also worried. I thought, God, if she's out and about, I hope no one thinks there's domestic violence going on at my
place. That's the thing. You've always got to, you know, when she drops off at daycare and stuff like that and they see bruises, there's always questions asked.
God, if I'm guilty of anything, it's loving her too much. What's so funny?
Everything.
Anyway.
The whole team can just see straight through you now. Like as soon as you open your mouth, people just laugh because they know it's going to be full of crap.
Then I asked a couple of questions. As it turns out, she's tried to do something on the sly to keep it quiet, but I've picked her up on it pretty quickly.
Oh, so she told you?
Yeah.
I thought she was going to keep it quiet too because they've been going together for about 6 months.
No, and she got
Sorry. No, you continue. Keep going.
She got Botox.
Okay.
She's been talking about that for a bit. She and I have quite a few conversations about Botox.
Far too long, the conversation's been going. Normally it starts with her looking in the mirror in the bathroom, going, I think I need Botox. And me going, honey, you look fantastic. Of course you don't need Botox.
Lisa doesn't need Botox.
Once I've had Botox, I'm going to get my lips done.
Well,
no, you're not, honey.
Don't do
Slow down. Don't be that person.
Well, she, yeah.
Don't
she,
be that person.
Her,
just
she
relax.
She doesn't have any wrinkles around
no,
her
she
eyes
doesn't.
At all.
She's got a beautiful face, like a baby's bum.
See, Sarah, you don't either.
Well,
but
why do you reckon?
No, there's a reason I don't. Dr. Hammond,
Troy. But you didn't before as well. I mean, this is the old age.
No,
this
come
is the,
on, Fitz. We've been together, what, almost 6 years,
yep,
you and I?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the age-old question as well that guys say, you know, and you can't say to girls that you wear too much makeup. It's the same, you know. When girls get Botox, my reaction's like, you don't need it.
Sometimes yeah, but by the time do. You say it, we've already had it, and that's just validation that it was a great idea because you think we look fresh.
Are you a bit shattered that she didn't tell you that she had to keep it quiet?
No, she wanted to do that to see if I'd actually notice, full stop. So if it hadn't come up in a bruise, then I wonder if I would have noticed. Probably not, because I don't think she needs it.
It's like a haircut.
But that's the thing, the argument she comes back with, because I say, you don't have to do it. And she says, well, it's the same as you getting your back laser. Which I haven't done for years, by the way. But yeah, there was maybe 7 to 10 treatments about 5 years ago.
Because the last machine blew up. The laser industry retired. Went into receivership. They burnt the lasers out.
You would have noticed, though, Whips, you're very perceptive. You always say to me, you've had a bit done, don't you?
Well, that's because you don't look at me the same anymore. It's different to a haircut.
See,
because you can't smile. Your face is stuck.
Do you know? It's just that my forehead is beautifully flat.
Looks like I'm looking at a painting the entire time.
Thank you.
Do you know the funny
Mona
thing
Lisa?
About it? This is the thing. I don't reckon a guy would even notice if his wife or his partner has had Botox. But if I walked down to the pub and caught up with my mates and one of them had Botox, as soon as he walked in the door, I bet you I could pick it.
No, but really?
Without a doubt.
I reckon the funny one is when you talk about haircuts, because you've brought this up before, how bad you feel when BJ comes home and she's waiting for you to say, you haven't even, and then it turns into haven't even noticed.
She just huffs after a while and just huffs. And I go, what's wrong with you? You haven't even noticed.
I would never notice if Lisa had a haircut. And then when I walk in here to work, there's 6 people sitting in our office that's ready with a haircut joke when I've had a short back and sides.
Yeah.
You don't notice
we do,
your wife,
don't we?
But you will bag me out for the second I turn up to work.
They're rough cuts, though, that you
well,
get.
That's right.
Brian the Barber, $30.
There's a
rough
new,
cuts.
New
yeah,
idea for a new salon.
Cuts.
Rough cuts.
Okay, well, I want to know.
Safe.
I want to open this up, guys. Did your partner not notice your cosmetic surgery? How long do you get away with it for? If that was going on in your house and you pulled it off, so many blokes wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
I wonder if a woman's ever got a boob job and their man hasn't noticed.
Well, see, this is the thing.
I mean, how far does it go?
One of my friends gets stuff done and lies to her husband in front of me. And friends will say, who here's had something done? And she'll keep her hand firmly
down.
What
she had done?
She's had fillers and Botox.
Oh,
and
Tula.
Yeah.
What's a filler? What's a filler? That's your lips.
What's a filler?
A filler is like in your lips and your cheeks
got you.
And things.
In your cheeks?
But see, major
you can
stuff.
Have them in your cheeks. It puffs them up.
Major stuff like Roxy's nose and stuff like that, you'd have to get permission from your partner, wouldn't you?
It's up to them. If you
want
to make a change,
under.
I suppose. Mm. I've had butt implants and no one's noticed. I got them about 6 months ago.
Yeah, the donut.
You've got a couple of hairbands put in your own.
Breast implants. I've had a gut implant. All right, 13, 24, 10. Did your partner not notice the cosmetic surgery we've had done? Get involved. That's
Jen in Padstow. Now, have you had something done to your face in secret?
Yes, I have Botox. I've been having it done for the past 2 years now.
Does your partner pick it up at all, Jen?
No.
Oh, I see. That's,
he's got no idea.
That's typical blokes, isn't it? I mean, he hasn't said how beautiful your complexion is looking at the moment, or?
Oh, yeah, he says that. He always says to me, oh, my God, you look so young. You know, friends of the family go, my God, well, how old is she? You know, she looks like, you know, she's only early 30s. And he goes, yeah, sure, I'm 45. So,
good on you, Jen.
Well,
you're doing well. You're doing really well.
Brilliant. I've got a wonderful doctor. He's amazing.
Okay. How much are you forking out? I mean, how much is it these days, Jen?
How much do you spend on beer?
Yeah.
Oh,
how
excellent argument.
Yep. All right. Well, you know what I think we should do, Jen? Get behind this one. Let's get, says, you've got to get some fillers in your lips. Let's get your lips done and see if Gary realises.
Yes. No, look. I think he would. Lip fillers, to me, are ridiculous. That's the one step too far. Botox just freezes your face. Anything that you're putting in to boost it up is a bit much.
Yeah. And then you've always got the danger of going too far.
Mm. Yeah.
And then it just looks ridiculous.
Look like bloody pluck a duck. You can call the show anytime. We encourage anybody. If there's whatever you want to talk about, 13, 24, 10, feel free to jump on the blower like Andy has.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
That's good, Andy.
This is unbelievable, this story that we've just heard that's come across our desk. Can you tell everyone what have you done and what you've predicted over the last few times you've done this?
Well, I do hear you guys talking about your unbelievable stories all the time. And I thought I could not call in with my... Some call it an unbelievable talent. I call it an unbelievable curse.
Okay.
Do you know, do you ever get bored at night and you go down the Wikipedia rabbit hole where you click on one page and then you just keep clicking on another page read all interesting stuff? Over the course of the last few years, I've killed off 4 celebrities by looking at their Wikipedia page, and the following day, they die.
So let me get this right. You've looked at a celebrity and a live celebrity's Wikipedia page, and then the next day, they die.
That's right. And it's not like, it's totally random. So the 4 I've killed in order of Michael Jackson.
Oh, God, you killed Michael Jackson. So I thought it was Conrad Murray.
Right. I don't think Michael Jackson was crook before that. He was actually okay.
No. And it's not like celebrities that are on their sickbed or they're in the news and say, I might have a look at what they're doing because people are talking about them. Yeah. Totally random. So Michael Jackson, Amy Winehouse, Bin Laden. I've started to notice a bit of a trend by here. And this year, David Bowie. And I've got proof of the David Bowie one because when he died, I'm kind of like, got a bit of a trend going here, a bit of a streak, so...
Yeah, so what, you filmed yourself looking at the David Bowie Wikipedia page, and the next thing you know, he's dead?
No, the following day, I went back and filmed my internet history just so I could prove it.
Okay, we're looking at it right now. I'm looking at the video.
God, that's weird, Andy.
Yesterday, Monday, January 11, 2016, and he died on January 12th. Is that correct?
I think he died later that day, but I'm still claiming it.
Wow, this is a special gift that you have, Andy, and I'm a little bit worried about you looking at another Wikipedia page because they could cark it the next day.
You couldn't fire up Fitzy's Wikipedia page, could you, Andy, or just see how tomorrow plays out?
Well, I could fire that up today, but I wouldn't want anything to happen, and I would have that on my conscience.
Have you looked at any celebrities recently, Andy?
I haven't today, so no one should be worried for tomorrow.
All right.
But if TV dries up tonight and I get bored, you never know who I'm going to go looking for.
That is a curse on you. I mean, I wouldn't want that gift.
The second that you say, I'll go look at someone, knowing that this happened, then it's a little bit more vindictive than just happening upon Michael Jackson's page, and then the following morning you wake up and he's gonski.
Yeah, that is very strange, Andy. I'd be nervous to open my laptop full stop.
Do you have a Wikipedia page with her, or should I?
No. Shut it down. Shut, Benny. Pull the plug on him.
Yeah, I think, well, it'd be good. I mean, Whipper's Wikipedia page is quite dead in now anyway. I think there's only 3 lines.
Yeah. I think if you added to that he's died, you would have doubled the word count on the page.
That's unbelievable. Whoa! That is pretty good.
Hang on, that was just me. Where's everyone? That is phenomenal, Andy. Thank you, buddy. Hey, we want to know, 13, 24, 10, have you got an amazing skill or ability to predict something like this?
What have you predicted? Yeah. I mean, dreams? You know how people have dreams and they come true? Is that a prediction?
Remember I told you that one about my first girlfriend, Laura, and I just had a dream that she was pregnant, and then I rang her the next day. She lived in New York. She said, no, I'm not. And then I saw her and she was pregnant, and I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And she said, because I only found out that day.
That's unbelievable. Whoa! That's not bad.
Thank you.
That's not bad. That's what we're looking. What have you predicted before 13, 24, 10? Do you have a gift? Get involved.
Justin and St. Leonard's, welcome to the show. What can you predict?
G'day, guys. I can predict when a car space is going to free up. You're going through Westfields and you're doing your laps looking for that car space. And just I'm patient and just make a call and go that one. I mean, before the reverse lights and everything come on.
Oh, really?
I reckon that one's going to start reversing out and go and
Justin,
take that space.
Is it a feeling that comes over you, mate? Or
I think, well, I don't want to say it's just patience, but I can't just drive in the first one and go that one. That's going to be
it.
Have to let it happen, you know.
Is it when you see someone actually get into their car and start the car up, Justin? Is that the giveaway or?
Oh, well, I don't want to give away any secrets, but no, I think it's more than that. I think.
That's not a bad gift, Justin.
Gee, what a gift.
Megan in Cronulla, what happened to your sister, Megs?
When my sister was in primary school, she had a dream that a plane was going to crash into a building. And then we woke up the next morning to go to school, turned on the TV, and 9/11 had happened.
That's really weird.
That would freak me out. Because then you know what? After that, every dream that you have, you will analyse it so much.
You wouldn't want to sleep, would you?
Yeah, it was
What did I? Tommy Williams texted me the other night and said, "Mate, I had a dream last night that you were hooking up with Katrina Rowntree, and I got really angry with you because you were cheating on BJ."
Now, that's an exciting night out.
Yeah, and
When's this happening?
And then another mate of mine, Hilbo, tried to jump in as well and hook up with Katrina Rowntree, and I would never do that.
But the
what does that mean?
That you want a threesome with Katrina Rowntree?
No, no, Sarah.
I don't know. That you've been watching Getaway reruns from the 90s.
Yeah. An affair. What does that mean?
Dreammoods.com, Tommy.
I had a dream about a horse winning the Melbourne Cup one time, and it did.
Every year it does. Not just any horse.
No, you're right, Sarah. Technically, you're correct. But it was a horse Kingston Rule years ago.
That's a load of crap.
Kingston Rule's going to win the Melbourne Cup. Told mum and dad. Bang. Went to the lucky shop. Won a whole lot of money.
No, you didn't, mate. Oh, okay. This is bad.
I had a dream to get in touch with a friend. Someone came to me and said, "You need to get in touch with this friend." And I did, and they were quite unwell. And that was weird. I hadn't seen them in sort of five or six years.
Tommy, we'll come back to you in a second. Let's go to Gina in Carlingford. What can you predict, Gina?
Hi, guys. I apparently can predict what's coming out in the Aldi catalogue the following week.
What? So give us an example, Gina.
No, so I will have a conversation with my husband and say, "I really wish we had a camp chair," and the next week there it is in the Aldi catalogue.
Oh, this is amazing.
Gina, you've got a bit of time on your hands, don't you, Gina?
Yeah, a lot.
Going through the Aldi catalogue, just doing a bit of predicting.
But it's also, it's not a bad gift to have on your husband because he thinks you're probably a wizard. But unfortunately, he's the one that's forking out for all these deck chairs and stuff, Gina.
Thanks, Gina. Tommy, what have you got on the old dream predictor with Katrina Rowntree?
It was your friends, wasn't it, that were predicting? So what it says about them, Fitz, is that they feel like you're abandoning them.
Tommy thinks I'm abandoning him.
Yes, and that you're taking him for granted because you're not focusing on him anymore.
You're not using Katrina Rowntree. In real life, you're using Tommy.
Yeah. What a bad friend you are.
I would never do that. Oh. Clive Palmer had to rock up to court yesterday. I didn't know Clive Palmer had bodyguards, and they're just as big as Clive.
Does he need bodyguards?
Well, yesterday...
Is anyone after Clive Palmer?
Yeah, he's going to court for the Queensland Nickel and all this kind of stuff. So he knew that there was going to be quite a bit of paparazzi, a few journalists trying to ask questions, so he got some bodyguards. There was about three of them bigger than Clive Palmer. Imagine getting in the car with those guys.
And I think that's actually a category if you go to the security website. It says small, medium, large, or bigger than Clive Palmer.
He's ordered
three of them.
Or imagine sitting on next to all of them on a flight, Sarah. Yeah.
Why don't you just take your pet dinosaurs, Clive, for protection?
That's not bad.
They're not real, first of all.
I don't think he knows that. That's part of the problem
Send them in early. Mm. You're spot on, sir.
He had his bodyguards there. I'm glad you asked that question, sir, because there was one journalist that kept taking photos, had a bit of a go at Clive. Now, you can hardly hear this, but Clive obviously had the bodyguards there, and he had a go at this journalist. You hit my wife again, you'll be sorry. So I don't know what was going on. His wife wasn't there. So I don't know what was going on. There's an ongoing feud. But I don't know what happened in court because he came out a bit loopy. And you know what Clive's like. Mm. He may have been hungry. Hangry, like you are.
Yeah, I know the feeling, Clive.
Someone should have just given him a Snickers.
Yep.
What's the tagline for that again?
You're not yourself when you're hangry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because when he came back out with his bodyguards again, they were chasing him again and he went a bit loop.
Goodbye.
Throw them out. They're stealing your money. That is beautiful. Whoa, man.
Goodbye, the wrong one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Trinity. Vote Palmer United in the Senate. Throw them out.
He just does catchphrases, doesn't he? Bye bye, one.
Well, that was the last time he was on here. He went a bit loopy, didn't he?
He's one of those things. He's got to switch, Clive Palmer, and you just got to let him run. Turn it on and let it go, mate.
Do you think we're going to see the Titanic? I think he scrapped it.
Emotionally, I've thought about this. I don't think it's happening. The financial state he's in would suggest, no, it is not happening. He'll say to you, and remember he brought it up on the show?
Yeah.
He said it takes about 7 years to build.
Yeah, and I think the plans have hit an iceberg, to be honest.
Iceberg lettuce followed by steak followed by schnitzel followed by
you were talking about all the letters on the King's Cross Coke sign the other day, or this morning you were saying that.
For sale.
And then what was up next? I think we should chase Clive for his dinosaurs. And even though I know you he will not get rid of them, I think we've got to chase a couple of stegosauruses.
Do we take over the Titanic project? I mean, if we pass the hat around.
Or what about his resort in Coolum?
That would be fun. We could do team weekends to the resort. Yeah. I don't know if I want to tie myself to what is quite literally a sinking ship.
Let's take listeners to his resort.
It's overrun, mate. There's nothing there now.
We could go there, do a working bee. Bit of a clean-up.
Save Clive's resort. Yeah. I don't reckon that'll take off, but Titanic 2.
Well, if we could do...
Dinosaurs on the Titanic?
A team cruise, right, on the Titanic that takes you all the way up to Coolum, to Clive's resort, and then you do like a Jurassic Park tour with the dinosaurs.
I've never seen your mind extend like this. I take my hat off to you this morning, Ryan James Fitzgerald. First time you've thought on the show.
Every program director in commercial radio right now is going, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable.
Write that down. Fitzy and Whipper.